The House will come to order. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 107. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 39, State Minors Hospital Board, ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 108. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 48, Reporting Requirements, ayes 30, no 0. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 109. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 53, Common School Reserve Account Funding. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 110. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 55, Appropriation for the Legislature. Ayes 29, noes 1. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 111. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 57, Hospitals Participation in State Retirement. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 112. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 61, School Finance Recapture Payments. Ayes 26, noes 4. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 113. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate File 68, Judicial Retirement. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 114. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 17, School Facilities Infrastructure Costs. Ayes 28, noes 2. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 115. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 22, School Facilities Amendments. Ayes 21, noes 9. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 116. Mr. Speaker, the bills listed below pass the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate File 67, Salaries for Officials. Ayes 26, noes 4. Signed, Diana Williamson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Ken Escobar.
Mr. Speaker, may I have privilege of the floor?
Yes, you may.
In our west balcony, we have the Associated Students of the University of Wyoming. You may have noticed them out in the lobby. The three branches of ASUW student government seek to serve students in the best manner possible through accurate representation, professional interaction with campus programs and organizations, and responsible, effective leadership. Welcome to the House.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Mr. Speaker, last Monday night, we were privileged, some of us, all of us, were privileged to attend a very nice reception at a hotel west of here. And many of you get to see a program on the legislature, and many of you get to see things that are put out by Wyoming PBS. Let me introduce to you the general manager of Wyoming PBS in the North Gallery, Ruby Calvert.
Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred House Bill 173, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Alden, Begbie, Buchanan, Gingrey, Mercer, Olson, Throne. No. Dockstetter Shepperson, signed Representative Buchanan, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 10, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Berger, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Harshman, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 67, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Jones, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Berger, Harshman, Jorgensen, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 74, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Berger, Harshman, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 92, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Jones, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Berger, Harshman, Jorgensen, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred House Bill 113, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Jones, Peterson, Philp, Warren, excused, Berger, Harshman, Jorgensen, signed Representative Philp, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred House Bill 151, respectfully reports same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Kay, Gilmore, Lubnow, Miller, Semlek. No. Madden, Stepson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, to whom was referred House Bill 46, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brown, Childers, Kraft, Davison, Goggles, Eichel, Yagi, Slater, Thompson. Signed, Representative Childers, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 45, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edmonds, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Korberg, Stewart, No. Brechtel, signed Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 48, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendments. Ayes, Brechtel, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Stewart. No. Edmonds, Korberg. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 9, Minerals, Business and Economic Development, to whom was referred House Bill 132, respectfully report same back to the House with recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Edmonds, Escobel F., Hammonds, Harvey, Lockhart, Meyer, Korberg, Stewart. No. Brechtel. Signed, Representative Lockhart, Chairman.
Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd request that you refer House Bill 151 to Appropriations.
Without objection, House Bill 151 is re-referred from Committee Number 3 to Committee Number 2. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed signify by saying no. Representative Shepperson.
Madam Chairman, if I might briefly.
Please proceed.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is on House Bill 1. I'm not sure if we've ever gone in and out of general file 3 times in one day, but we will today. We will vote on each section of the budget as we go through, just on general file like we would normally do, so we don't have to come back and do it. But today we'll just work the first half. Where that stops, I don't know, but it'll be close to somewhere half. Okay. Thank you.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The reading clerk will read the House bill.
House Bill Number 1, introduced by the Appropriation Committee, an act to make appropriations for the biennium commencing July 1, 2008 and ending June 30, 2010.
Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move House Bill 1. And Madam Chairman, if I might make a few just general overall comments before we start.
Please proceed.
The committee worked very hard on this bill, and they're a tremendous, very smart group of people, and I'd just like to introduce the members of the Appropriations Committee before I start. And if you need information, be sure and talk to any of the members on the Appropriation Committee if you think you need more information, because we are going to try and move pretty fast today. So just to try and get through half of the budget today. So first person is Alan Jones back there. Worked very hard. Owen Peterson, Pete Jorgensen, and Jane Warren. And up here is Rosie Berger. Steve Harshman. And he works as hard as anybody, and I don't want to leave him out. And I got to admire him because he.
It might have had something to do with his hair.
No, but he during the committee hearings, when we were hearing from all the agencies, he was actually commuting from Casper. Many days he did. And on your desk, you should have several pieces of paper. And this is the one I'll talk from in the last few minutes. It's the just kind of the overall big picture. It has a spreadsheet on the front that says actual and projected general fund and budget reserve account. I'll talk about that one first. And I also want to point out, you also have the local government, and if you don't mind, I would defer that until we get to the Section 300s at the last part of the bill to talk about that, because that's where that formula and all of that is discussed in the bill. You should have what's called the cheat sheet, and that's pretty much what we'll work off between this and the bill. That's most of what we will talk about today. Also, in your desk, you should have this Wyoming state budget, and you can follow along with it as well if you like. But I will probably follow the cheat sheet and the bill, and I will move each section. And then at the end of each section, if there are no questions remaining, we'll vote on each section of the bill as we go. Also, your goldenrod just kind of shows you the big picture. We have about $30 million left before we would, if we spend above that, we start getting into savings. And I would rather not do that. And also, bills that are coming, as soon as bills hit general file, they have an impact on the cheat sheet. If you remember a few days ago, it was about $34 million or so, and now it's down to $30.8 million. Going back now to the big picture items, in the handout that looks like that, and I apologize, I should have numbered those handouts, I guess, but anyway, on that first spreadsheet you see there, basically what it shows you is, if you look down at the bottom two lines there, you can see that our surpluses are going down on the bottom line there. You can see how those revenue in excess of the standard budget, starting in 99, 2000. As we go along there, it has it starts out at 215 million, but and then gradually climbs, and then we have in the last year where our revenue is caught up with our spending is caught up with our revenue. You can see that we don't have near as big a surplus as we had last year or the last biennium or the biennium before. And you can see that and on the second line from the bottom, the governor's recommendations have steadily increased in the standard budget. Going on to page two, this page shows our carryovers, how that has declined from the previous biennium. If you look down on about the third line, you can see that in the 07-08 total carryover from the previous biennium was $1 billion in the 07-08 biennium. In the 09-10 biennium, it's only $286 million. And if you look at the bottom down there, total available for appropriations, this $33.6 million is the number that I pointed out before in the goldenrod, which is actually now, because of bills that have hit the general file, is about $30 million. And if you have questions, ask them, but I'm going to go through these pretty fast. The next page shows, page three, just shows the governor's recs on column one. Column two is the JAC recs, and column three is the JAC recs that were not in the standard budget. But and you can see the first one there is the funding to locals is about $350 million. The governor had a little more than that. Department of Transportation, we spent the same as the governor. Business-ready community facilities, we spent the same. And anyway, on down the list. But when you get down there and you see the percentage represented by these 12 programs is 76.47% of the budget. Then you go on down, and when you take everything out that was in the standard budget, and you get and the 5% statutory set aside, the 104.9. That leaves $757 million available for exception and other requests. Bottom line is, when you get to the end of all of that, that's 91% of the budget right there on this one little page. Going on to page four, and a lot of these items we will talk about. In fact, all of these items we will talk about later on. The local government, we'll talk about that when we get to the Section 300s at the end of the bill. The Department of Transportation funding, that will be it when we get to the Department of Transportation budget. Business-ready communities and facilities programs, that will be in the state lands budget, which we may get to today. Wildlife Trust, Department of Health, UW, Community Colleges, Department of Corrections, and Capital Construction, all will be talked about, you know, when we get to those agency budgets, Department of Corrections. Capital Construction is in right before we get to the Section 300s at the end of the bill. We won't get to that today. Transfers to the water accounts, that's in Section 300s, and as well as AML will be in the Section 300s. Going on to page six, those are all smaller items there and will be talked about when we get to the various agency budgets. I'm sorry, that was on page five. Page six is just a graph that shows our historical and estimated discretionary revenues versus spending. And you can see how that our spending has caught up with our revenues and actually crossed a little bit there in 07-08. The next page, page 7, is historical revenues in the standard budget. And the surplus is the red line. The next page, page 8, shows how graphically how spending has gone up in the various categories. And relative to time, and which areas that we have increased funding. And if you'll notice, the one, general government, is one of the fastest growing areas, the white area down there, number 8. And this, then there's a pie chart and kind of shows the same thing. And if you compare that pie chart to the chart on the next page, on page 10, comparing page 9 and 10, from the 97-98 biennium, and this was kind of surprising to me, but you can see how general government is now taking quite a lot larger size of the pie. Slice of the pie, I guess you would say. Going on, and this on page 11, in a day or two we'll get you out a different sheet on this, but anywhere in bills that are still out there, there's somewhere around, I suppose, somewhere around 200 million, between 200 and 250 million. Left in bills that are still alive. The next page is the AML funding estimates.
And, Madam Chairman, I'm sorry.
We'll get to that later on, too.
Mr. Yeah. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Majority.
I had a question on the pie charts from 97 to 98, 07, 08. On 07-08, number 9 is savings at 7.73%, and there is no slice for savings in 97-98, and I assume that's because we did not have any statutory flow into the PMTF. We had not made any direct appropriations into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund, and we did not have the Legislative Stabilization Reserve account. Is that correct?
Chairman Philp?
That's correct.
Madam Chairman.
Chairman McComey.
Does this growth of the government, could that be a lot of that at the new prison and all those positions that are funded for the new prison, or how are those being dealt with?
A lot of the growth in Department of Corrections would be from, I believe those pie charts, though, exclude capital construction, if I'm not mistaken. I'm not sure. That might include capital construction, and that could be part of the corrections budget. I'm not sure I can find out about that.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
I'm told that it is part of the capital corrections budget. Capital construction would be part of it.
Madam Chairman, that also includes local government funding that's now at $350 million projected for the 09-10 biennium, as well as highways, that is now $200 million. So you know, mm-hmm. 5 years ago, we did not have $500 million of spending in those two areas that we've got now.
That's true.
Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, on the AML, we'll get into more detail on that, but it's projected out there for several years that we'll get the $82.7 million, plus future collections. I would say the farther out that goes, it would depend on, it could still be affected by actions that the Congress takes, that the federal government takes, I guess you might say. The next page is Department of Health, and we'll talk about that when we get to Department of Health budget. And the next two pages are the flow charts for spending policy reserve account for the Permanent Wyoming Mineral Trust Fund and for the Common School account. And those, Representative Simpson will talk about those when we get to the Section 300s.
Excuse me.
Point of order. Mr. Chairman, I think you may be referring to some pages that I don't have in this first handout. The last page we've got is the page 10 is the pie chart, and then 11 is the listing of bills with appropriations.
Okay.
Unless it's in the other handout.
Okay. No, it's not. The other handout is just local government. I apologize for that, but I will try to get you those spreadsheets that we just talked about because we will need to discuss those. So, if there's any further questions, Madam Chairman, then I would move Section 1 and call for the question. And, Madam Chairman, I might make a little bit of explanation there. That's the definitions that are used in the bill. And as you go through the bill and you want to know what accounts money is being appropriated from, that's a good place to start is to look at that in the definitions there, as you can see on page 2 and 3. That, Madam Chairman, I'll call for the question in Section 1.
Is there any other discussion on Section 1? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 1 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Okay, Madam Chairman. I will move Section 2. And, Madam Chairman, and call for the question.
Any other discussion on Section 2? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 2 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, the first agency we will talk about is Section 001, the Governor's Office, and Representative Harshman will discuss that.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, if you would look in your tray, I distributed a one-pager on this. It says Officer of the Governor, Department 001, with my name at the top. We talked as a committee. I think as a rookie on this committee, I wanted to kind of put things in a one-pager for my own explanation. Folks, if you have that, you can see the Office of the Governor, the divisions, administration, which employs 25, I think, of the 55 employees in this agency, tribal liaison, commission on uniform laws, tribal council schools has an asterisk beside it because that is moved out of the governor's office now this year and will move to the Department of Education. That's where we passed a bill last year, a couple $1 million to bring, I believe, St. Stephen's up to the same standards as the rest of our citizens in the state that attend our public schools, because those kids, it's a BIA school, but they're certainly citizens of our state, and so that was a House bill, I believe. So that's going to move out of the governor's office. A special contingency, Homeland Security, Health Care Commission, Natural Resources Policy Account, and the Endangered Species Administration. Those are the divisions of the governor's office. Standard budget with in the old, what is that, 07, 08, plus what we, you know, and what we did in our exceptions last year, has brought that standard budget to 44,689,000, 55 employees. Now, we moved 2 million over the, of that, to, of the tribal schools to the Department of Ed, and you can see that on that one pager. So the governor's request then was 49 million. The JAC action, we cut 4.5 million from that request. And so our JAC budget for the governor's office is 45 million. Now the major actions under that, you can see the cuts, uniform laws. It's basically a group that I think it's nine guys get together, go to a yearly conference and talk about state laws and how they, how we can kind of get them all uniform around the country. I don't know that I've ever seen anything from, but we cut that travel budget back, 22,000. Special contingency, the governor wanted 5 million. He had 650,000. Left over, we gave him another 400,000 to 350,000 to bring that up to 1 million. So the governor's 5 million contingency was reduced by 4 million. He certainly has enough flex authority to be 11 and transfer money throughout the agencies, we felt, if there should be some type of emergency. The Health Care Commission, that was a 2-year budget that came to us, but in fact, the Healthcare Commission sunsets in 1 year. So we reduced the funding in half to give them 1 year of funding since it will sunset in 09. So the ads basically were 1 million for the contingency and 1.6 million for the endangered species. And what we are trying to do with that is be very proactive, get out ahead of the federal government, the Preble's jumping mouse, collect data on these species before the feds come in and list them, and then the fight's on. And so if we can do a preventative action, and that's what this money is for, to get kind of out ahead with our own science, and so we can kind of have a little more control of that. And then a footnote, Homeland Security makes up a major portion of this budget, about $32 million total amount, and the JAC footnoted that 9.2 million of the WIOLINK, which is a statewide interagency communication system, will not be distributed locally until the governor determines that this expenditure will in fact make the system operational statewide. And there's some question about that, I guess. So we want to make sure that it works before we dish out the last 9.2 million. And if there's any questions, I'd try to answer them.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would just like some additional explanation on the $1.6 million for endangered species. Is that to actually do studies, or is that for legal fees? And, I mean, does the governor then go ahead and give this to Game and Fish? I mean, I'm sure you asked. They're not duplicating what they're doing between the governor's office and Game and Fish.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. It's a very good question. This standard budget really is, it has an advisor that works with the Game and Fish Commission, but the coordinator of this division is responsible for working on endangered species policy and as far with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife, items that are brought forward to us on species. We'll use a hire scientists or do whatever we need to do as far as get information on the species and get out in front of it. And in fact, we could, and there is a separate part of this budget, but there is, of the governor's budget, but there is some, legal work as well that can be, this money can be used for. But much of it, I believe, is scientific to get out in front of the, before the federal government lists these species on the endangered species. And then, of course, then it becomes a long, drawn out process. I don't know if I, So your question was, some is legal, some is scientific, and it's not a Game and Fish function at this point, although they work closely with Game and Fish and U.S. Fish and Wildlife.
Representative Korberg, follow-up.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So this work is not being duplicated in the Game and Fish Department. It's just like the governor handles certain parts of endangered species, and they're handling other parts, and we're not duplicating efforts as far as you know then.
Representative Harshman.
Madam Chairman, no, we are not duplicating it. It's a fact, working kind of hand in glove to make sure that the best science and technical information will affect these listing decisions, and also with, you know, the species management of it. So it's and these things are coming down the road at us. It was the Pribble's jumping mouse. I think we've got a pocket gopher coming down the pike somewhere, and we got a few other species that are coming. So prairie dogs, of course, and so those issues are continuing to come at us as population increases, development increases, and so it will be a continuing need. And I think it's money. It's so far it's been money that's been well spent.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And then I just want to make sure, and I'm assuming we can all get a copy. I think they have to give us an annual report on how they're spending the natural resource policy account money, and that's supposed to be helping local county deal with endangered species. Am I not correct?
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And, of course, the natural resource policy account is a separate division of the governor's budget, and that is about $1.5 million. And it is actually to help fund local governments, the participation and impact statements, other issues, and also litigation when it comes to that. But so we've kept with that standard amount of $1.5
million. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Some emergency service worker friends of mine have expressed some concerns that WildLink may not link WILE. And apparently the Joint Appropriations Committee shared that concern. Is there any more detail on the concerns that you shared, and are we maybe looking at some cost overrun sometime in the future, those kind of things?
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. We had a pretty detailed discussion on WildLink, and it's been a process, and perhaps some of the other, if I leave out something, you can certainly jump in, members of the committee, but there are some issues, certainly, but I think local folks maybe there's been some thought that this was going to be a mobile system and all those kind of things, and I don't think WildLink at this point is designed to be necessarily a mobile walkie-talkie type system. And that's where some of our local folks, they have to have that. Police officers have to have. They can't just be tied to their radio in their unit. And so that's where some of the rub, that's where some of our municipalities have not quite jumped on board with this. We had a demonstration one afternoon. I guess I can tell you this, up in 302. And as it was a pretty impressive demonstration, folks from all around the state talking to one another, and except for one guy, they had to get on the cell phone and call him and tell him to switch over to another channel so they could talk to him. But it was a little humorous at the time, but that's what we kind of said. You know, why don't we just use cell phones, you know? But so we're watching it as we go, and I think that was part of our concern why we put this hold on the money, to make sure it's going to work before we just throw it kind of down that hole and make sure that everybody's on board with it.
Representative Peterson. Chairman Philp.
Well, Madam Chairman, yeah, and that's why we put that footnote in, so that the governor would have to determine if it was operable statewide, because we were concerned about that. And so hopefully, I guess if you want to tighten that footnote up some, that's always a possibility. But that was our intention.
Is there any other discussion on Section 001?
Question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 001 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 002, Secretary of State, and Representative Peterson will talk about that.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fellow colleagues, I bring you section number 2. I'm on the first page of your cheat sheet, and I'm on page number 7 of your budget, so that you can follow on what we're looking at along those lines. Secretary of State's office is fairly stable. It's not, of course, as comprehensive as you just heard. You look at your cheat sheet, you'll find there that there's $6,457 $457,043. That was the governor's recommendations. That pretty well followed with the agency budget request that we heard the testimony on. You'll find that there were two other classifications here of other funds, which at the top of this cheat sheet, it says OF up there. That means other funds. And those are for securities enforcement, and the second is protecting our bucking horse and rider. Address a few comments on that. The bucking horse and rider is constantly under review and scrutiny by various other states and municipalities. They testified that it came to the forefront when we had our quarter that was just released, and of course that brought things forward. It's a trademark. As a result, it has to constantly kind of be defended, and we've successfully done that. You can see there's $200,000, $200,000 that was allocated for that by the governor. The securities part of it was rather intriguing. The Secretary of State has in his security division responsibilities to regulate things like stocks, bonds, mutual funds, the individuals and companies that are, of course, working in these particular types of paper transactions. And as a result, with the growth in the state of Wyoming and the mineral aspects, there's substantial growth there. So the $623,000-plus was put in there by the governor. That brought us to a total of $7,281,073. As you look across your cheat sheet, you'll see the JAC actions. It's all zeros there. That meant that we made no changes to this that the governor did. We felt it was very justified in the course that was going forward. And you reach over to the far right-hand column of the cheat sheet, you'll see that the $7,281,073 stayed intact as it went through the process with the Appropriations Committee. Directing your attention down to the staff, the authorized employees, you'll see full-time there, not on the cheat sheet but in your budget book because it was inadvertently left off on your cheat sheet. There are 29 full-time employees, part-time is none. Total employee count in the Secretary of State is 29. It was kind of an interesting budget to work with. It's an enforcement-type agency that we have, very vital to the state's interest. And the discussion I remember specifically talking about the bucking horse and rider, the fact that that has been fought on numerous occasions. So with that, I stand ready for any further questions.
Representative Kornberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And maybe this would be a question for the good co-chairman or the good chairman of appropriations. I couldn't help but notice not only on the governor's budget but now the Secretary of State's, and I've kind of looked for going forward. I guess I'm kind of concerned. There's an exception request almost in every budget I've looked at for the contractual services just keep going up and up and up. Was that something that you got that JAC scrutinized pretty carefully as they went through these budgets?
Well, Madam Chairman, it was of concern, and it's a growing thing in the budgets across the board. It's a trend that we see, and it is of concern because, in effect, they're hiring more employees in a lot of cases through the contractual arrangements.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Do you guys ask these agencies when they're bringing these budgets, like the Secretary of State's and the biggest part of their budget is some of these policing actions they do, and they generate a lot of fees. Do you ask them if their fee schedule is in balance with what the costs are?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The answer to that is yes. From time to time, we do inquire about that. And, of course, some of the legislation you see in this very session that we have is increasing and working on some of the fees throughout the state of Wyoming. There is discussion that takes place, and I would say the majority of them indicate that the fee schedule that we have at the present time in the state is sometimes not keeping step with the cost of actually rendering that particular service. So it has to be looked at, and that's what we're attempting to do. And if you reflect upon the driver's license bill that we had, there was some fee increases there for the services they were rendering. So the answer to your question is yes.
Representative
Burke. Madam Chair. Oh.
Sorry.
Madam Chairman, if I might. And partially in answer to the previous question was about the contractual arrangements. One thing about them, they have to come back. They drop out of, they don't go in, come back as a standard budget item. So they have to come back and ask for them as an exception request.
Representative Brown.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just had a question. I want to be sure I understand. House Bill 3 that we have in the hopper contains an appropriation of $2.5 million from the general fund of the Secretary of State for electronic election reporting. If that were to pass, am I correct, that would be come out of the $38 million that's available and would add another $2.5 million to this Secretary of State budget that we're looking at here?
Representative Peterson.
Madam Chairperson, thank you. The answer to that is yes, it would, because that was not reflected in this particular budget. That is a separate standalone bill. So I'm glad you brought that point up, and it's something that the body's going to have to consider.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Would you explain to me what goes into administration a little bit on these besides wages? If you're just wages, it's 29 divided into that 6 million is $220,000 per person in that office. It seems like maybe I'd apply for a job.
Madam Chairman. In administration, also includes space rental, salaries and benefits, obviously. Also, charges for use of electricity and all of those kind of things. All the, everything it takes that you can think of that it takes to run an office, travel, IT, a lot of computer equipment and computer costs, charges that go to ANI for provision of internet, phone service, all of those kind of things. I guess that's...
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. In addition to what the good chairman just addressed, in administration and all of these budgets, you'll find quite a collection of various items, and there are various series breakouts of these. You'll find journals, you'll have stationery, you'll have it's kind of a catch-all. And so to just say that it's all salaries and that kind of stuff is not correct, because there is an extensive breakdown that takes place, but it's put under administration, so we don't get into the real minutia of these.
Is there any other discussion on Section 002? Representative Jorgensen.
Madam Chairman, call for the question.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Along that line of the detail, let me add something. Each one of us on the committee have two drawers full of supplemental information. They're bound as books for each agency. And you're welcome to consult us or go in and ask the secretaries to make available to you a budget book for the specific agency. Every exception request is excruciatingly broken down, and sometimes we talk about it in those kinds of details. For example, travel is closely, every one of these is closely examined. We go through that, those exception requests, line by line. And the governor has spent 3 months with these agencies, and we have spent a month with the agencies. And it has been looked at. It's not to say that it's that you all agree with it or it's the correct course. But please avail yourself of the opportunity on any agency to get with us, and not necessarily the person presenting that section, because these were rather randomly distributed. But there's plenty of information, and we'd be glad to go over it with you. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairman Phil.
And Madam Chairman, another item that might be helpful in your budget book on, and it doesn't have a page, but if you go down there about a quarter of an inch, there's a reader's guide and it tells you what each one of those series numbers means, and tells you what all of those that's all the accounting codes that state government uses in budgeting and accounting.
Any other discussion on section 002?
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 002 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move section 003, State Auditor, and Representative Jones will explain that.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I want to start off, you've heard one term here several times already, and everybody is going to use it as we present these budgets, and that's the term standard budget. That's where all the budgets start from. And what that standard budget is made up of is all appropriations that were in the budget bill 2 years ago, those funds that came through in the exception, in the supplemental budget a year ago, and any legislation that might have put ongoing expenses into an agency. All of those are totaled up and so on, and those comprise the standard budget from which any budget starts from. And then the agency from that point makes exception requests that then what we consider in all of our deliberations, and the governor did too, what we call exception requests, which in most cases are additions to the standard budget. Some cases there are reductions too. But that I hope that explanation of what the standard budget is helps you know the starting point from where we get started. And I will start off with that. The standard budget for the state auditor was $17.8 million and had an exception request of just over $2.5 million, which was reduced by the governor by $500,000, and we agreed with that reduction in the budget. This reduction was the result of information that came from the Game and Fish Commission on revenues that they would need to supply funds for any revenue recoupment that comes from legislation that says we're going to give somebody a break on their license because they're old or they're young or they're disabled or something. Those kinds of revenues require a backfilling, if that's what you want to call it, from the general fund to provide those revenues to the Game and Fish Commission. And their original request for funding was reduced by $500,000, and that is shown in this budget. That left a recommendation that the budget that the governor gave to us of $19.9 million, and from that we reduced it another $400,000, which came as a request from the state auditor that in further looking at their budget, they could find an area where their expenses were going to be about $400,000 less than they anticipated when they originally put in their budget requests. So we granted that request and lowered their budget by $400,000. This left a balance of $19,478,451, which is shown in your budget bill and on your cheat sheet. And this agency has a total of 27 employees. I think the cheat sheet shows none in that and two. I don't know where that happened, but there are 27 employees in the state auditor's budget. Do you have any questions?
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I just have a quick question about this Game and Fish license recoupment. Can someone tell me why that ended up in the auditor's budget?
Representative Jones.
The auditor is the bookkeeper. Well, in the legislation somewhere it stated that there would be money returned to the Game and Fish Department for any revenues lost to the Game and Fish. It's just handled by the state auditor's department. Now, why, I don't know, but I'm sure probably in the legislation at some point it determined that those funds would be held and distributed by the state auditor.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I guess this is just a good chance for me to put a little pitch in there that maybe we ought to open up the Game and Fish and subject them to the appropriations process so that they can have the same level of accountability as all the other agencies.
Chairman Philp. Did you have anything? Representative Brown.
Madam Chairman, I can't let that remark go by without a little bit of defense. That used to be the case. I know exactly where the representative's coming from, but it's no longer the case, and Game and Fish has come to us and had to do a line-by-line justification of their entire budget. And I must say, when it was finally opened up and the legislature finally got a look at it, we learned not what I expected. It's one of the best budgeting processes that I've ever seen. And we have been through that budget line by line, and we were a big part of the recoupment program and the number that was put together. And I just have to defend that a little bit, that it's not arbitrary and it's not done in a star chamber somewhere.
Representative Jones, anything further? Okay. Any other discussion on Section 003? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 003 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 004, State Treasurer, and I will attempt to explain that budget. Madam Chairman, if you'll notice on the bottom of your cheat sheet there on that first page, $10.6 million is general fund money in this agency, $56.2 million is other funds, and that is because the state treasurer collects a lot of fees for filing fees for various documents that businesses file for, corporations and so forth. In this budget, we moved $100,000, JAC did, professional consulting fees in the governor's recommendation to fund a retirement system investment policy study, and that was moved to Section 314, and we'll have another explanation of that when we get to Section 314. We added $120,000. $393 general fund and one full-time position to replace a position initially recommended for removal by the state treasurer but later deemed necessary for functioning of the office. And the justification the state treasurer gave for that was that because of the complexity of the portfolio now, where it's invested, a lot of it's invested in capital stocks, and to have a backup of people who understand in investments of the state treasurer's office. They have a small number of people in that office, and they felt that they needed more people just as backup, and because of the amounts of money, somewhere around $10 billion that they have invested, they felt it was important that they have a number of people that understand how the investment process works. And then we made added a footnote making $900,000 of this appropriation effective immediately, and that was for the veterans' tax refund, that they felt they needed that, that they were going to run out of money before June 30th if we didn't make this appropriation. And, Madam Chairman, that concludes my explanation.
Any discussion?
Question.
Okay. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 004 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 5, Department of Education. And Representative Berger.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Department of Education, Agency 5, in this budget, it mostly deals with funds, programs, and administration. The bulk of the funding for education is in the agency budget number 205, the school foundation allocation, because as you know, we do a block grant. And really, as far as the standard budget goes, we only had one exception that we addressed as JAC, and that had to do with the Riverton Job Corps program that we were federally awarded the $40 million for that project. We were the only state that did not have a Job Corps center. But like some of you have come to realize, not always does the funding from the federal government move as swiftly as some of the ideas. And with that, the Job Corps Center in Wyoming still has to do all of the startup work and management of the future organization of this facility. So we have recommended an appropriation of one-time funding of $220,000, and that's to work in cooperation with the federal government as far as the funding on this project. And that was the only exception to that budget, but I stand for any questions you may have on Agency 5.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. So where does the, if I'm looking at the long sheet here on Department of Ed, where does the $220,000, it doesn't show up under your actions over here? It's just a footnote?
Madam Chairman, or I'm sorry, yes, one moment, please. It's right over here, isn't it? Madam Chairman, just to answer the good representative, it is just a footnote.
Thank you, Madam Chairman.
Any other discussion on Section 005? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 005 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 6, Administration and Information, and Representative Warren will discuss that.
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, I'm going to be operating again on Section, on page 2 of the cheat sheet under Agency 006. This is the Department of Administration Information. It's quite a complex department. There are 367 full-time staff. There are 7 divisions. Basically, they have oversight of the budget division, licensing boards, all the state employees' employment oversight, construction, the construction management section, IT section, and the state library. Overall, their expenses were in several areas. One, you saw across all their different departments, their 7 divisions, quite a bit of increase in their information technology. That would include the routers, the firewalls, servers, all kinds, email update, a lot of enhancement in the technology throughout the A&I division. You can go through each section, and I have the whole book, where you can see those increases across the board. I did not want to spend time going through each of those, nor would you want to hear that. A few little facts of trivia that I thought you would find interesting. The budget actually has approximately a little more than $4 million in it for 228 vehicles. As we upgrade older vehicles, replace them across the state. Utilities increased by a little more than $1 million, so the total utilities across all the capital complex was around $7 million. There were some professional fees increased, and there's a compensation pool of $2.8 million. That's basically where, when you have an increase in a salary in one particular division, they need increased funding. There's a compensation pool. So again, it's a very complex agency where basically the JAC agreed primarily with what the governor recommended, where we made one change as we added in $250,000 to the proposed $500,000, making $750,000 for our state internship program. What that basically means is students from the university and community colleges can come to state government and do an internship. What's interesting is the projection is 35% of our state employees will be retiring in the next 5 years. And there's going to be a changeover from those who retire to new employees. And about 66% of interns actually stay on as employees in the long term. So it's a great way to get people involved with state government. JAC added the $250,000 to that budget. One other area, too, in talking about the utilities is The Construction Management Division has a contingency fund of a little more than $3 million. That's basically for emergency situations, for perhaps looking at some land acquisition and so on. It's an emergency fund. And in that, $200,000 is authorized to use for energy audits in state buildings. And again, that's promoting the idea of reducing some of our utility expenses and moving into a place where we can spend less and use our revenue more effectively. So I will answer questions if you have any and close at that.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just another one of those information questions. ANI charges a lot of the other agencies it deals with a fee to perform services such as getting the computers, the cars that they use, these types of things. Do you review that part of their budget to make sure that it's in line with what probably they could be charging, because it's like taking it out of one pocket and putting it in the other?
Representative Warren?
Yes, we do. No, we do. And we have had concerns about, as I recall, transportation for motor vehicles. We have had a lot of discussion on that with them, a lot of discussion on IT, the way that's built out. There's a lot of discussion about that.
Representative Warren, did you want to add anything?
Madam Chairman, one other comment as you look at this budget that, again, for your own interests now and in the future, is there's $305 million in the health insurance costs. And, again, health care is a big issue. There's quite a bit of funding throughout this budget to promote wellness. But a reason why this budget is so big, the $477 million, is it includes all the health insurance for state employees and dental care.
Representative Zwanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If you could help a rookie here, ANI is responsible for liquidating a lot of the used equipment and such for the state of Wyoming, and where would I look, what line would I look under to find that?
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, we have the breakdown of all the budgets of the different agency. There is a section that's called surplus property. I've got it in our budget. There was probably not any kind of exception request, so that's why you don't see it on the budget document. But we can provide that, or I can provide that to you or anybody who's interested in more detail.
And Madam Chairman, it would be under general services in your bill, but if you want a breakdown of it, you would need to look in this the books that we have up here, and that would give a breakdown.
Any other discussion on section 006? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 006 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
And, Madam Chairman, just another point. You can go online and find these budgets under the legislative website. All of those budgets will be on there in the narrative and justification that they give us for the budgets. Okay. Madam Chairman, I move Section 7, Military Department. Representative Peterson will discuss that.
Madam Chairman, I'd like to bring to the body Section 007, Military Department. I'm on page 2 of this cheat sheet, and I'm on page 11 of the budget bill. The Military Department I'm happy to bring in, because if you look at this, and I direct your attention to the fact that there are 8 different functions that come under the Military Department here, is kind of diverse. Of course, it's related to various things, helping the civil authorities as well as military operations. And with the hostilities we have in Iraq and Afghanistan, you can look across on your cheat sheet. You can see some of the increases that's been brought forward here. The department operations has gone up, of course, and that's an important factor that makes the force readiness take place. But I would like to point out to you, if you look at the very top of your cheat sheet, you'll see general fund appropriations. Under the governor's recommendations, you'll see federal funds. and then you'll see other funds, and then you'll see the codes that's attached to it, and then the total figure that's there. And if you flip your cheat sheet over to the very top, you'll see what these total figures are here. You see under the general fund, the appropriation is 16.5 or 16 million plus. Federal funds is 26 million. So we're receiving quite a lot of funds here from federal sources. And during the testimony, the thing I'd like to point out here on the military side of the fence, it appeared in all probability that there would not be a decrease in federal funds. We find that as we listen throughout the presentation for the 4 weeks, as a general rule, federal funds were on the decrease. And with our highways and other things. But in the military arena here, we do not think so, because Camp Guernsey is becoming a very select training site, and we anticipate these federal funds will, in fact, hold or perhaps increase. So you look across there, the total amount is $45 million plus is what we have. There are no JAC actions that were taking place. We did not add to or reduce in this particular budget here. And as a result, you can see over on the far right side of your cheat sheet, $45 million plus is what we have here in the military department, with once again a substantial portion of that being federal funds. Two other comments connected with this particular budget. Our good chairman will address capital construction items towards the completion after we go through the agency budgets. There are one large capital construction item that will come up associated with the military, and there'll be a smaller one that comes up with a facility over in Laramie. But as far as the budget, we did not change that with JAC and felt it was appropriate, and I stand ready for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 7 is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 8, Public Defender's Office, and Representative Jones will talk about that.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. The largest exception request that comes from the Public Defender's budget was for 13 new employees and those associated expenses that go along with hiring 13 new people. The governor denied all but two of those positions. And after the testimony that we received and so on, we agreed with the governor that those two new positions that he agreed on were justified. The two approved positions will be placed up in the northeast corner of the state, primarily as a result of litigation going on concerning the energy boom that we all know is going on over there. And by the caseload studies and so on, it looked like that was the area that definitely needed an increase in people. But the caseload in the rest of the state did not indicate to the governor nor to us at the time that it was warranted to add another 11 people on top of that. The governor reduced the agency request for travel by $40,000, and when this was brought to our attention, we were made aware that let me back up a little bit. The governor based his decision on the agency did not travel near as much in the last year. And he said, if you're not going to use it, we're not going to give you that much. That the usage is why he based it that way. But during the testimony that we received during our budget hearings, it was brought to our attention, and I'm sure as all of you know, the public defender was killed in an accident in the mountains, I think up by the Lander area. And subsequently, the people in that agency, to try to keep the agency moving properly and so on, they just did not travel what they normally do. They just didn't feel that they could get away from the office. They had to keep the general operations going. So that showed a marked decrease in their travel budget. But now that a new public defender is on staff, it was felt that the normal travel would resume again, and that their request for $40,000 for that additional travel would be warranted, so we added the $40,000 back into the budget.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Guardian Ad Litem program that will be shifted to the Public Defender's Office Is that a Section 300 that comes out of the Supreme Court budget? And
Chairman Phelps.
Yeah, it's a Section 300.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Representative Jones.
Took the words right out of my mouth. Oh, you just give me a time. Leave it up to a lawyer. Try to get up and I'll talk a trucker, huh? That's not hard to do. One for me. Lost my notes here now. And that was going to be my next statement, that the Guardian Ad Litem program would be moved to this agency from the Supreme Court. And what they do is dispense the money to the attorneys that are used within the GAL program and so on. And rather than the Supreme Court dispensing those dollars, it will now be done through the Public Defender's Office. And I might say that this transfer had the approval of both the Public Defender's Office and the Supreme Court. They all agreed on that. The number of employees was increased, as I said, in the governor's budget by two and agreed by us. And that brings the total budget recommendation by your Joint Appropriations Committee to $19,967,077 and includes 82 total authorized employees with the two new ones. And I would be happy to answer any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 8 has passed Committee of the Whole. Mr. Chairman Phelps.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 10, Agriculture Department. And Representative Berger.
Madam Chairman, Section 9 will be addressed in the Section 300s. And I apologize because it does get a little confusing, because if you were using House Bill 1, you would note that there is not a Section 9 there. All right. We had three exception requests that the JAC added money to a budget. And I can't believe the non-ag person has got ag here today, but here we go. This first situation is with $193,500, and that has to deal with the state seed lab. That was the first exception that we made to the Consumer Protection Division. And then the second one has to do with $375,000 that we added to the conservation districts. It's the watershed planning to local districts, and it's to improve water quality. And that had been, that original request had been reduced by half in the governor's proposed budget, and we put that back in there. We believe that based on the current conditions of our natural resources, that this is an important thing to be doing in our local districts. And so we put that funding back in. And the third item that we addressed was predator control, and that had been reduced by the governor's proposed budget, and we added an additional $2.7 million. And I have great detail on the in the ag budget and the specific pages if anyone has questions on that. And I stand here for question and may ask for backup.
Any discussion on Section 10? Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. My question is on that predator control. It's an almost 100% increase from the budget. There's got to be some rationale there, and probably bite size that we can understand. That seemed like a lot of money in one budget bill.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. And that is one of those legislative actions that's per the standard budget and the direction that we made in the previous biennium. And also, keep in mind that we had only granted out $5.5 million up to the point of this budget for 18 of the counties. And they are anticipating that the remaining counties will also be applying for funding, the additional five counties. And yes, it is a lot of money for some coyotes.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I, too, had a question on the predator management money. Some of my constituents had expressed concern that there were no administrative costs in the predator management money, and they were worried about that. Could you address that, please?
Chairman Filt.
The $300,000 is in another part of in the administration budget to administer that, and that's why it was reduced from 3 million down to 2.7 million.
Representative,
just a follow up, Madam Chairman. So, but it is in the Department of Ag's budget. It's just in a different category.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chairman. It is in administration.
Thank you.
Any other discussion on Section 10? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 10 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Filt.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 11, Department of Revenue. Representative Warren will explain that budget.
Representative Warren.
Madam Chair, Chairman, overall, the JAC did not make a lot of changes to the Department of Revenue. Just a few facts about the department. There are 130 employees. They're basically responsible, the department is, for the collection of severance taxes, excise taxes, determination of fair market value, maintenance of the CAMA equipment to all the counties, and distribution of the liquor that is purchased through the Department of Revenue and then given out to the state. There actually are 27,000 businesses that report presently to the Department of Revenue and 1,000 mineral producers, which shows kind of an overall picture of our state. The two primary budget items in the Department of Revenue were JAC added in funding for disaster recovery, around $265,000. What that was is what happened in the agency is their computer system went down, and when it went down, they were in a really difficult situation of having all their data. So by adding this funding in for the equipment purchase, computer equipment purchase, it provides kind of a safety net in case or to help prevent this from happening again. There was a contingency on this that basically there's going to be a requirement by the state CIO, that's the computer oversight individual, technology individual, to be sure that what is purchased to address this potential disaster situation computer-wise is overseen and authorized by the State Department. In addition, the primary budget request that the Department of Revenue requested was a $50 million increase to their revenue to authorize liquor sales, because in the state of Wyoming, the liquor sales have increased substantially, and they purchase it, and then they resell it to the state vendors throughout the state, and that was quite a substantial increase from $100 million to $150 million overall. The other item that the JAC did was added in $884,000 to be effective immediately for the liquor warehouse for design of split case production, and that's just basically the hardware of how they store the liquor that comes in and how they put it away and redistribute and their operations in the liquor obtainment. So if there are any questions, I would answer.
Chairman Childers.
Was there any discussion at all about the possibility of continuing looking at the streamlined sales tax issue that had been carried by the Department of Revenue?
Representative Warren.
Mr. Chairman, there's funding in the budget to cover that, and I would share where that is. And there wasn't an increase in funding, but it is an ongoing oversight of looking at our involvement and what we're doing and that we are actively involved with that process.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Representative.
Any other discussion on Section 11? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 11 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Filt.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 14, Miners Hospital Board, And Representative Peterson.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Fellow legislators, I'm on page 14 of the budget book, and I'm on page 4 of the cheat sheet at this particular point in time. I bring to you the Miners Hospital Board, this particular budget and the trust account to set up that's associated with it was established numerous years ago in the state of Wyoming. Funds have been placed into it, and there's, of course, revenues that come off of it and its investment. And as you look at your cheat sheet, you'll see right up at the very top under governor's recommendations, general fund is zero, federal funds is zero, and then you'll see $5 million plus on other funds. That is monies that's earned off that trust account there, and that is what the budget has been submitted with. This agency is a bit different. It provides mobile wellness testing for the mining population and workforce of our state, hearing aid purchase assistance, the miners' medical assistance, and then health coaching at the respective mine sites to make people aware of how to take care of the various things that they're working with in the mining industry. They have one executive director. They have no employees. They have a board that functions, and they go around and perform various services for the miners throughout the state. And with that, I stand ready for any questions.
Chairman Illaway.
I just have one question. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've received several emails regarding the Miners Hospital Board. I just want to ask how closely, now I realize that part of this was set up for Southwest Wyoming, and then I think we added something for Northeast Wyoming, but I want to make sure that the Miners Hospital Board does work for all miners. And just want to know a little bit more whether you are able to really get into the Miners Hospital Board and take a good look at how that's run. My understanding was that the administrator makes a considerable salary out of that. I know you can't go back and set those salaries, but I'm concerned about whether certain miners, whether miners are really being taken care of or how that money's being spent.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I appreciate the questions. I've had some questions that's raised to me in addition to what the good representative just posed concerning the operations and scope of services that's rendered. In the testimony that we heard, one of the questions of the course that we discussed with them is what qualifies for treatment under this, or in other words, what is a minor and how long do you have to be involved with this, and does these services extend throughout the state? The knowledge that was imparted to us is that, yes, it does go throughout the state, and that they are making a concerted effort to reach the mining population. And as a matter of fact, some of the additional funds that we have here in this fund breakdown that you have, they are putting more effort into their advertising, into their travel, into their reach-out programs to touch the mining population. So that is the information that was imparted to us.
Chairman McComey.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Does if they don't use all, say this $5 million, does it go to the corpus, or does it carry forward the next year and for an increased amount?
Chairman Phil?
It doesn't carry forward. It just stays in the fund. It doesn't go back to the corpus.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm just a little concerned. I mean, I see it's not a large amount of money. There's the exception budget. As I remember, that is a huge fund that has grown over the years, and it seems to me that it's approached $75 million or something like that out of that miners' fund. And it seems to me that within the time that I've been here that we've tried to get into that, and I understand that that does help fund the hospital or a hospital in Southwest Wyoming. I'd like a little bit more discussion about that. Just because of the emails that I've gotten about how that's being funded and so forth.
Chairman Phil.
Well,
Madam Chairman, I recall several years ago there was a bill, and there was quite a bit of strife between the miners from one area from the southwest versus the miners from the northeast. And they did finally come to a consensus over the makeup of the board. And for several years, I hadn't heard anything about it. Now we're starting to hear things about the board. So I don't know. That in the fund, there's about $75 million in the corpus. And then there's another fund that is the income fund, which is where the $5 million is that they can spend out of. But it does have to be appropriated.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. There is a bill that's passed on second reading at the other end of the building to discuss and modify the composition of the State Miners Hospital Board, and perhaps that would be an opportunity for us to discuss their management. I do know that since we've had discussions about the operation of the Miners Hospital, there are services being offered at more than one county in the state of Wyoming, and that there are advertisements and services being offered even in my county.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me add a bit to that. I don't remember the exact numbers, but historically they've been authorized a certain amount for hearing aids and a certain amount for total medical expenses annually for people who are qualified or who qualify for the program. And in this budget, they are proposing to increase those amounts, both those amounts. They've been advertising. You may have seen advertisements in the newspapers to essentially identify potential clients. So there's you've raised an excellent question. We all on the committee do have more information. The original hospital was in the southwest part of the state. There were mobile units established to deal with other locations in the state. And they do, my understanding is they do travel extensively. So if you'd like more information, I'm sure any of us could access that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion on Section 14? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 14 has passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 15. Attorney General Representative Jones will explain that.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Section 15, Attorney General. This budget recommended by the governor for this office totaled $85.8 million, consisting of just over $67 million general fund, $8.8 million federal funds, and a variety of other funds totaling just under $10 million. JAC Actions added the footnote specifying that $500,000 must be used for the purpose of defending the state position taken in a formal opinion regarding water litigation concerning the North Platte River, and that carryover of this funding would remain in the account until June 30th of 2020. I have a copy of that opinion if anybody would be interested in it. It's a little longer than what I want to read to you here, but I do have it available if you're interested in that. Also, this appropriation is recommended to be effective immediately. Another footnote specifies that $66,500 shall be used for GPS tracking and is also made available immediately. These two recommendations I have just described did not add any money to the budget, but just outlined how they were to be spent and to make them effective immediately. The governor approved a request for funds to acquire a GPS tracking system, since the present analog system that DCI uses will not be supported after this month. So there was a need to convert to a digital system, and that would have to be acquired almost immediately. So we have put in the footnote stating that the money for that GPS tracking system would be made effective immediately also. The JAC also felt it necessary to make available to the Attorney General $1.8 million to provide a computerized criminal history program that was needed in the Department of Criminal Investigations, and we also in that footnote made that immediate. As per a request by the agency and recommended to the JAC in a letter from the governor, there exists in this budget just under $3 million for lead-free ammunition to be used in the Law Enforcement Academy. Up to this point, those people coming to the Law Academy brought their own ammunition for their firearms training and so on, and since lead is getting to be such an issue, they are changing over to this lead-free ammunition. And rather than having each of the local entities acquire their own lead-free ammunition, this budget provides for having that ammunition at the Law Academy when they get there. And you will see in the capital construction budget when it comes through also a request and an approval by the JAC to build a building at the Law Enforcement Academy to store that ammunition until it's used. This budget authorizes 253 positions, and I would stand for any questions at this point.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Two questions. Concerning the lead, I wanted to know if there's any discussion about funding some a cleanup of the shooting range, which has been pounded with lead for a great number of years. And second of all, is there any, other than the one building to store the lead-free bullets, was there any discussion of expansion of the academy facilities themselves due to an incredible increase in requirement for training peace officers?
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't believe there is anything in the budget for any cleanup. I don't recall anything coming through as far as that, whether that's going to be handled out of their own standard budget or not, I don't know. But that did not come up in our discussions, nor did any other capital construction request for enlarging the Law Academy.
Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, they did not request that, although I was made aware of the problem on the shooting range with the lead. And there wasn't any discussion that I recall of expansion of the Law Enforcement Academy.
Chairman Childers.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Was there any discussion in the AG budgets, and I'm assuming that's where it'd be, several years ago we had discussion about a DNA database, and a recent flyer coming from another state reminded me of that. And I just wondered, was that discussed in this budget or is it in this budget? And what is the status of that to basically help solve some of the crimes that we've had?
Representative Jones?
I am not aware of any discussion that we had for that. I mean, we the one new computerized criminal history program we have funded in this, but I don't recall, I'll probably have to fall back on somebody else, that there was any discussion on anything to do with any DNA testing and looking at cold cases, if that's the proper word that you're asking about.
Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I don't recall anything about a DNA database, but I did go down to the DCI headquarters here, and they told me, and they must have some kind of database because they have been running samples of DNA and checking on a database. I think it's a national database. And out of every 100 samples they run, and I think it's from convicted felons that they get the samples, that they find that out of every 100 samples they run, two come back as a hit that have been involved in some kind of a crime or another. And I asked them if the majority of these were sex crimes, and they said, no, they're all kinds of crimes, burglaries, robberies, murders, a lot of them, a lot of different things that they pick people up on. But they find a lot of these felons have committed previous crimes. So there's a database out there somewhere. I don't know who has it.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I note that there's $1.5 million in the budget for the medical review panel. Is there any discussion on the volume of cases that the medical review panel reviewed?
Representative Jones.
I don't recall that we discussed that. Maybe the chairman has some additional information. I just don't remember that that issue came up in the budget.
Chairman Phil.
Madam Chairman, as I recall, there wasn't very many cases that went through the medical review panel.
Representative White.
Madam Chairman, in reference to the question about the firing range at the Law Enforcement Academy, I believe that it's been cleaned up and they've been lead free for about a year or so now, because the last few folks that we have sent up had to have lead free ammunition. Also, I believe the fine representative from up north mentioned that $3 million was going towards that ammunition. I believe it was $300,000. I think that was said, and I just wanted to correct that it's $300,000. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Jones.
I'll check my figures out. I have $3 million here, but that does sound awful big, doesn't it? Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
Representative Dirks.
Madam Chairman, isn't this the budget where the victims' witness services that we were speaking about this morning comes from, and also the division that works with domestic violence and sexual assault? I know that both those programs are facing some of these hits with federal funding, and I'm wondering what the requests were along these lines and what discussion ensued.
Representative Jones, or Representative Berger, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I'll just help Representative Jones with this. There was no request from either group for the additional $1 million. We do have the budget. It was brought later, and that is why we are working on some of these different components through the session here to compensate for that. But what we came up with is that we had no good backup material for the additional $1 million for each domestic violence and crime victims. My understanding is that at this time they can manage both of those programs on the current funding that is being proposed in this budget, and we will review that again at the supplemental.
Representative Jones.
Thank Representative Berger for that. And as far as a follow-up from on the question about the amount for the frangible lead-free ammunition, the amount in the budget is $299,421. Thank you for bringing that up.
Chairman Phil.
Chairman, as regards to the cleanup, the best information I have is that it was not cleaned up, but I'm sure we'll hear from somebody about that.
Any other discussion on Section 15? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. Section 15 is passed Committee of the Whole. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Section 20, Environmental Quality, and somebody, Representative Peterson, will explain that.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to bring Department of Environmental Quality to the floor. It's section number 20. We are on page number 15 of our budget. So that we can look at this. This is an agency that's like the military one, has substantial federal involvement as well as state funding that's taken place. And I direct your attention to the bottom figure, if you would, on the cheat sheet that shows under the general fund appropriation. They're requesting here $38 million plus. The federal funds, of course, is 17. Other funds is 16. Other funds consists of this agency, of course, collects various fees for the services that they provide. And you can look over on the far left side of the services they render. They're in air quality, administration, water quality, land quality, industrial siting, and solid waste management. Those are kind of big entities within the state of Wyoming, and that's why you find other funds that's in there. The total amount was $72 million plus. JAC looked at this, heard the testimony. It was extensive discussion with the DEQ about some of the activities and how they're functioning throughout the state, some of the obstacles that they face in rendering timely services to the people, which we've heard in the past. JAC took three actions here, and it cost $1.5 million. If you look at footnote number one, they added $286,000 in two full-time for the agency's paperless office initiative. That has been going on for several years now. It is coming to a closure on that. It was three phases. It was requested through some legislative action, and so we felt we should keep that moving along because that will definitely improve the services and the response time of this agency. The second footnote that we added was requiring the department to develop a rate change notification system in the air quality program. Discussion about that. This particularly sprang out of the mining industry and the soda ash part of our state so that these individuals can plan properly, because if we increased the fees in midstream, it's difficult for them to timely respond, so we felt it was appropriate that we would serve notification to them so they can enter it into their budget cycles before it all of a sudden is an extra expense they will incur. The last is we added $1.3 million general fund pursuant to the governor's letter for number four for solid waste cooperation with local governments. When you take the JAC actions in addition to the governor's recommendations, you can see over on the far right side that we had $73 million plus for this particular agency. The governor's letter number four, when it came up to us, indicated that the solid waste management program in the state of Wyoming is something that needs to be worked on. And there had the DEQ had started into that, but they had run into some shortfall there because they had greater level of local government cooperation than they anticipated. And what we're talking about here, fellow legislators, is regionalization. Instead of everybody having a landfill in their backyard, so to speak, we're trying to get this more regionalized. So for it's a center that can be processed, and you have less environmental concerns with it. They expect eventually to close about 31 landfills in the state of Wyoming when this is underway, talking to the DEQ and the information they provided for us. I know there's been some discussion about this, and not everybody is in concurrence with it, but that's the action we took, and through the governor's letter number four, we gave that additional appropriation, and I stand for any other questions.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just had a question about the $1.3 million for the solid waste planning cooperation with local governments. As I recall this, the original idea was that we were going to appropriate money to line the landfills. This was like 4 years ago. But before, then we realized how expensive that was and that maybe we should consolidate some of the landfills around the state. So we came back with another bill that said local governments try to consolidate. Once you've consolidated, then we'll come back and fund lining the landfills. Under that bill, the way it was broken down, as I recall, it was 50% we would pay if two local governments got together and worked to consolidate, such as my county and Sublette County. We share a landfill together, so it would make sense for our two counties to get together. The state would pay half, and we and our two counties would split the other half. If three government entities got together, we would pay 70%, the state would. And if four government entities got together, the state would pay 90%. When we figured out how much money we were going to need, it was based on the idea that there weren't going to be many four government entities getting together. But we don't think like local governments, I don't think, because what happened is almost all the local governments figured out how to become four. even though logically the four may not make sense. In particular, there's one county that none of their county and their town none of their towns have any responsibility toward solid waste. It's all done by a solid waste district. So there's one government entity in that entire county that has anything to do with solid waste. But in order to get the 90% funding from the state, they went and counted all their towns and their county, even though they have no responsibility. Also on top of it, there's some counties that went in together, and if you saw which counties they were, you would instantly say, no, what in the world would those counties have anything in common? There's no way they would ever consolidate together. What I'm concerned about is that it's nothing the legislature did. I'm concerned with how DEQ handled this, that there was no rejections of applications, that DEQ didn't say to some people, hey, this doesn't make any sense that all four of you guys came together to consolidate, but you have no relationship to each other and you're not even near each other. I guess my question is, was there much discussion as to how did this go from actually a well-thought-out program where we thought it was mostly going to be two or three government entities getting together to essentially everybody coming up with the four and then putting the 90% on the state rather than the 50% on the state?
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. To answer your question, not to that degree that has just been described by the good representative. We didn't have that in-depth discussion, to the best of my knowledge. He raises some very good points, and I know this is still in a process in being because there are some things that need to be worked out on this, and all things never went according to the original plan that was set in motion. And what I would recommend is that if there's some issues or questions on this, we can certainly meet with the DEQ during this budget process and get further clarification on some of these points that's been brought up.
Chairman Phil.
And Madam Chairman, we received a letter from Senator Larson and Representative Lockhart from the Joint Minerals and Business and Economic Development Interim Committee. And what they said was that when Director Cora appeared before the committee, he thought there had been a better response than he had anticipated from local governments as far as consolidation. And more local government entities are pooling resources into regional landfills and creating a shortfall in funding necessary to reimburse their government entities. So apparently it is working fairly well. I don't know, and maybe the chairman of Joint Minerals could give a little more explanation than
Chairman
that.
Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, members of the House. This was a bill that had a considerable amount of work in an interim 2 years ago, and the clear indication was less sanitary landfills are better because they're fairly complex operations and the monitoring and that sort of thing. And so it was by design that we incented putting different landfill operations together. And we had no idea how many of the communities would go together, but in fact, they saw the incentives that we put into the bill to go together and exceeded what was our estimate of the amount of money needed to do this. This is a huge issue, and as you may recall, there was about $170 million worth of work that needs to be done over time to get us away from the landfill operations that we'd done in the past. So actually it was a good thing that we got more consolidation. I don't fault them for taking advantage of the incentive that was in the bill because that was the reason. Rather than have two operations 20 miles apart with all of the monitoring and all of that kind of administrative cost, you'd consolidate with a more state-of-the-art facility. So I think this was money well committed in this budget to an appropriate sanitary landfill issue that is big in our state.
Chairman Phil, did you want to add something?
Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, if I might, while we're still on this subject, Governor, we made this appropriation in response to a letter from the governor. The previous letter I was quoting was from the co-chairs of minerals to the governor. And the governor in turn requested that we put this appropriation in, and furthermore that we draw this appropriation from the appropriation that he suggested for local government funding. So that was what we did.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It seems to me last year we approved about $8 million for a computer program for this particular agency. We questioned it at that time. I'd like to know where they hid the rest of the money and how that particular computer programming is going, whether they've asked for more money and put it in some other budget or what.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The paperless initiative program that has just been addressed was implemented into the DEQ function approximately 2 years ago. The cost of it was right around $12 million. It was spelled out to go into three phases for implementation and funding purposes. We have already appropriated about $5.96 million into this operation. The information that I had, or not I had, but was presented to us in regards to how this is progressing, it is doing what it is moving on like it is projected. There are some things that needs to be implemented to make it become productive, and the funding is pretty well on target at the present time, and so that is the information we received on paperless initiatives.
Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, continuing going back into the history, the bill that was initially put out was basically for a regional landfill. That made it through a lot of both sides of the House and was actually pulled by the Senate chairman because it just wasn't ready. And then another bill came the next year, and I think the good representative from Cheyenne indicated part of that, which was a computer analysis, but also there was supposed to be a study of taking a look at the need for additional monitoring wells, a study of groundwater, and the feasibility of even having to line. And in Park County, Wyoming, one of the landfills, without a doubt, has a need. Maybe it should be abandoned because of the groundwater issue. But the major landfill in Park County has no groundwater, or essentially none, and what little there is has 25,000 parts per million, which is definitely not potable water. And from what I understand from our landfill operator, there's a good indication that it may be forced to line that landfill. And I got a real hang up with that. Why on earth would you spend a large amount of money to line a landfill when you don't have groundwater to speak of? And what groundwater you do have is definitely not potable. There's never been an indication with any of the monitoring wells that there is a creation of problems towards the groundwater. So I don't think we have answers to go in the manner that they're proposing with that $1.2 million appropriation. I won't question that there needs to be continuing study, but I have seen nothing testified or provided in the way of testimony that justifies the direction we're going. I've had calls from the landfill operator in Warland that says, why on earth are we proposing this? Even a discussion of a regional landfill between Warland and Cody. I haven't heard anything that indicates we need to go that way yet. So unless I have some real answers on this, I might be making a motion to delete that particular section until we get some better answers.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I might address this issue, I think we can all draw an object lesson from this exercise. We did identify some years ago that there were problems from leachate of landfills, and it was contaminating our water supply. And the solution to do that is to line the landfill, but those are subject to perforation if they're not done correctly, if they're not well designed and constructed. We looked at the situation, and the committee, I'm sure, in their wisdom, considered the differences among different parts of the state. But frankly, in this kind of an issue where we're trying to accomplish regionalization, to use the best practices to store, in this case, solid waste, we should not be bound by county boundaries or municipal boundaries. DEQ is qualified, or should be qualified, to look at across the whole state, make the determination of where an adequate, well-designed and constructed landfill should be, notwithstanding existing contracts in one county with a different landfill operator and those sorts of things. So all I'm saying is we're where we are. We incentivized it with more money if they did something, so they did something. Whether it was in the best interest or the quickest or best way to get there, at this point is not relevant. We are getting there. I'm just saying we should be aware of this whenever we deal with these kind of regionalization items. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Chairman Childers.
I would agree with the good representative that maybe there is a need in some areas for addressing contamination of groundwater. And quite possibly in the larger municipalities, that's true. But on the other hand, if you look at the distances that we have to consider for regional landfills, and I think that was part of the discussion in the bill that was proposed for regional landfills, and serving on the committee at the time that was considering that bill, that was my main objection. We had no idea what it would cost to haul the landfill material to a particular area, and I've heard nothing that indicates that we know now. So as far as the transportation issue, we still don't know. And as far as the water quality for those areas that don't have groundwater problems, we still don't know. And when I have a county landfill operator that's being directed that he may have to put in a liner, I say we don't have the information yet.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I was also a skeptic of this program when it was first brought to the Minerals Committee 4 years ago. And we looked at it during the interim. We sent the DEQ back to provide additional information about the consequences of unlined landfills. I can visualize, like all of us can, those dry areas where there's no groundwater that we know about that shouldn't be a problem. In fact, with rainwater, snow, those kinds of things, you get the leachate into that area also, and it's something that turned the Minerals Committee around as they learned of these landfills. We had pictures, we had samples, that there is a big problem in the state of Wyoming. There's some national standards that you have to follow, and that's how we got to the bill. It took two interim studies to get there, and we think this is the right thing to do. We passed it through the House that this is what would be done, and we had the incentives in there. That's, in my view, history on this. What we didn't know is how many would consolidate. Now, who makes the decision on the cost of transporting and dumping and those tipping fees and those kinds of things that get into it? That's the economics of the people that own and operate the sanitary landfills to make their decision. Is it in their best economics to join in a regional one, go it alone, or fight the process and not do anything? And we have a little bit of that all the way around. But the group that represents the sanitary landfill in the state of Wyoming unanimously supported the bill in the end, and that was after a long process, as I mentioned, and supported the additional financing when they went together regionally, and we had those hearings this last session.
Representative Gingrey.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to point out, because the good representative from Moreland pointed out to me, the numbers I said were a little bit wrong. The
if you were one entity by yourself, it was 50%. I think I said it was two. So if you're just all by yourself, it was 50%. If it was two of you together, then it's 70%. And then if it was three of you together, then it's 90%. I think I added a fourth one on there. But my point is that I wasn't complaining about the program. The program's fine. What I was disappointed in, it was the manner in which DEQ executed the program. I wish DEQ had evaluated the applications a little closer to see that they were legitimate local government units that were getting together and making it a real program and not just trying to get to the 90%. I think you got to fund it now. The contracts have already been let. They're already out there. They're already doing the planning. So we're sort of in a catch-22. We got to fund it now because they've already let out the contracts. So I support spending the extra money. I'm just disappointed in how DEQ executed the program.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 20 has passed committee of the whole. Chairman Philp. Okay. Representative Berger.
Okay. I move to open section 21. And we have Representative Jones will speak on this division.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Department Agency 021, Department of Audit, the total recommended by the governor for this department was $24,366,000 in a little bit. In the administration division of this agency, the governor had denied a request for some computer software based on the recommendation of the chief information officer, but he did approve the purchase of the hardware. However, during the budget hearings, the testimony of the director of the agency indicated a real need for the funding, and his request was supported at that time by the chief information officer. The argument was, if you get the hardware, you must have the software to go with it. So with that, the JAC added the requested $81 million into this budget request. There were two new positions added to the division of banking. The funding for those two new bank examiners includes the traditional salary, benefits, computers, training, and other things that go along with new employees. As could be expected, IT is a very important component of this agency, and there were several requests made and approved both by the governor and the JAC for upgrades and additions concerning their IT throughout this entire agency. I didn't go into each one of those, but I did want to explain to you a little bit about that one denial by the governor and why the JAC did put it back in. The changes that were made bring the total for the budget for the Department of Audit to $24,417,593, and this supports the 123 employees that are within that agency. I'll answer any questions.
The question being called, all those in favor of closing Agency 21, Department of Audit.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Okay. Madam Chairman, I wanted your job. Excusez-moi.
I might need a break. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 21 is passed committee of the whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'm glad I still have my other job. I move to open up Section 23, Public Service Commission. And we have, this is interesting. Mr. Chairman, excuse me one moment. You have just this right here.
Go ahead.
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chairman. I will continue with Section 23. What we made some adjustments in appropriation was to computer purchases. And the recommendations on that did not come in prior to working through the entire budget process until we met. and that was the exception that we put in there, which is $103,000 for software and document management. This commission, as you know, is self-funded based on fees, and this is important in being able to provide better services for all of our constituents. And, Madam Chairman, I would call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 23 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would move to open Section 24, which is the Department of State Parks and Cultural Resources. And in that particular budget, we had a couple of exception items that JAC acted upon. And the first one has to do with the Cultural Resources Trust Fund. The governor had proposed $3 million to be put into that corpus, and the JAC reduced that funding by $1.5 million into the corpus of the Cultural Trust Fund. The second action that we took was on the historical context, and the agency had requested $876,000. We reduced that funding by half. And we also added a note, a footnote, that the funds would be matched by other entities. Those were the only two actions that we took to that budget. And I stand for question.
Discussion on Section 24.
Call for the question, Madam.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 24 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I would move Section 25, the Department of Employment, and we have Representative Warren to speak on that.
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, the Department of Employment overall, the primary budget requests that came forward were because of some federal reduction in funding, and you'll see that through all the agencies. The Department of Employment basically has 328 employees, and it oversees workman's comp, unemployment insurance, the Office of State Mines, the inspector, and oversees the labor standards and OSHA requirements. The biggest request that the department had was $8 million for the replacement of the workman's compensation information system. You've all heard about workman's comp. The Department of Employment is hoping to enhance that system through this computer replacement system, and we'll hope that that works. There was also some funding approved by JAC and the governor for some safety equipment for the mining program. Again, that's another area. And overall, the other funding was primarily replacing federal funding, which was several million dollars. So if there are not any questions, we'll close that presentation.
Discussion on Section 25. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 25 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Agency 26, Department of Workforce Services, and we have Representative Jorgensen to explain the budget.
Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Agency 26, Department of Workforce Services, on the long sheet, which is what I'm reading from, it refers to page 19 in the budget bill. And the other things that you may wish to reference, when one of us speaks about something that came up late in the process or a governor's letter, what we mean is an item that changed, in effect, the governor's request, and he updates that with a governor's letter. And we have all of those and the backup information should you desire it. The only item in this budget that changed from the governor's request was the replacement of federal funds, $154,060, which were no longer available. We found out about that in December after the governor had submitted his budget. So that was a change to general funds. And you've heard several of us refer to the fact that we're replacing federal funds with general funds. Unfortunately, that is a trend, and it's something we all need to be aware of. If there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. The footnotes are really conditions we put on a couple of items in the funding.
Discussion on Section 26. Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 26 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger. Madam Chairman, I move Section 27, School Facilities Commission, and we have Representative Harshman to explain that budget. Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, I've distributed again another one pager. School Facilities Commission, agency number 27, operations, major maintenance, school, CAPCON, construction, and then infrastructure are their divisions. The $83 million is a standard budget, and that includes operations, major maintenance, and infrastructure. There are 20 employees. The governor's request was right at about $95 million. That increase was mainly due to major maintenance increases. The JAC action, we approved the governor's request. Our one footnote to this was really how the infrastructure money, as you know, there's been a statewide debate on, as we build new schools, who pays for the roads and the water and sewer to the new schools. And I think there's a bill coming our way from the Senate that'll help clarify that. But part of our footnote also clarified that. And you can see the details on page 6 of your cheat sheet or page 20 of the budget bill. I would, as at the bottom of your one pager that I handed out, there's $357 million for school capital construction to build schools here for the 09-10 biennium. That is down a little bit from, I think we had 399, almost 400 million in the last biennium, if I have that. I think that's right. And that was the number that the school facilities commissioner thought that, you know, they could build in a two-year period. So with that, I'd stand for any questions.
Representative Korberg.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I know I've asked this before, but this is just, you know, double. The contractual services, the exception request is doubled from what it was in the standard budget. And I was just wondering if you could provide me for an explanation of how we went from $2 million plus an exception request of almost $4 million, and now they're going to have $6 million in contractual services.
Representative Harshman.
That's a good question. In fact, we had a lot of discussion in committee on that, some of the many of these deals are going to be brought in-house, architectural and engineering services, and we're moving to a statewide assessment. Much of this has been done by a company that's gone around the state. We've kind of dissolved ourselves in that relationship. Many of these are going to be brought in-house. There are some serious questions, and I guess one of our footnotes, it's not in here, but we're going to demand a report on specifically how some of these 900 series monies are spent. It seems a little high. There's no doubt about it, and I think it's, I think we have a pretty good microscope on it now to kind of watch that. So I know that's not a very good answer to your question, but I think it's an area with a red flag, and I think we all need to watch that.
Any other discussion? Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and I would just add that part of this funding is in the standard budget, and the other part has to come before us as an exception. We do have a handout on that 900 series of the contractual services because, as the good representative from Natrona County mentioned, this was a concern of ours, and so we did get extensive detail on that monies, and we certainly could provide that for the body if you would so choose.
Madam Chair.
Representative Harshman.
Back, Madam Chair, I do have that handout. I can certainly give you a copy of a one-year run of that. If you want some more detail, I can research that a little more and find out exactly. Okay, thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion on Section 27? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 27 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
One moment, ma'am. Yes, that's right. Okay, I got myself ahead, Madam Chairman. We are on Section 29. I move that for Wyoming Water Development Office, and we have Representative Jones to discuss that budget.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This agency receives no general fund monies. All of the funding for the Water Development Office comes from Water Development Account 1. There is an increase in this budget proposal of $796,000 over the 07-08 budget. Most of this additional funding will be used in conjunction with the University of Wyoming College of Engineering to fund the Water Resource Data System that provides water-related data to Wyoming citizens, state agencies, industry, and municipalities. With this additional funding, the total budget recommendation of the JAC is $7.7 million and provides for the biennial funding of the agency and its 26 employees.
Are there any questions? Representative Anderson. Chairman Anderson, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think probably this is as good a time as any to kind of get some of us are real concerned about the erosion of water development funds to things that are not water development. This is one of them. Every other agency here is funded with general fund money, and all of a sudden we're going to fund this agency, not all of a sudden, for years, since the first few years, this agency has been funded with water development funds that were originally to go to water development. Now, maybe that's a reason enough, but we also for years funded the state engineer's office. We finally got that straightened out, but I think we spent some $60 million water development funds financing the or funding the state engineer's office. Even in this budget, we see $501 million going to Bighorn adjudication to the AG's office. Should that be water development funds? I think not. Since when were we supposed to finance the AG's office? We have $675,000 going to the Agriculture Department, to the Ag. Should that be funded with water development funds that are taken away from water development? The State Drinking Water Revolving Fund, I think there's $1,990,000 going to State Lands and Investment Office from water development funds. Colorado Recovery Plan that we'll see pretty soon going to State Engineer's Office, $88,000. Now, the Appropriation Committee did a great job. I think they went ahead with these things, and then they put an additional $10 million into the water development account to kind of make up for that and a little bit more, and we appreciate that. But my argument is on this, let's be careful how we make those water development funds go away. Use them for water development and not for running state government all through the other categories. And thank you.
Chairman Phil?
Well, Madam Chairman, just in reply, actually we put about $34.5 million into water accounts. And there's a lot of commissions that are funded. Their administration is funded out of whatever funds they get. For example, the Oil and Gas Commission, all their administration is funded out of funds that they collect from the oil and gas industry. So I think there's a lot of cases where specific funds are used to fund administration.
Any other discussion on Section 29? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 29 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Section 37, the State Engineer's Office, and Representative Warren will speak on that budget.
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, when I first came on appropriations and I saw state engineer, I thought it was about building buildings because engineer didn't seem to fit water, but it really is about water. And the state engineer's department oversees the groundwater, the safety, the dams, the building, the oversight of our water throughout the state. It's a very important agency, and it's been impacted our state has been impacted quite noticeably by the coal bed natural gas industry and some of the effects. Therefore, some of that is seen in the budget. The overall requests were not changed much from what the exception budget that the governor approved and JAC approved. It was pretty much essentially the same. There was a $5.7 million request. increase in the exception budget. The primary areas where we saw the increases were in two positions for water management specialists. They wanted to be able to respond more effectively to requests for permits, for oversight of some of the impacts on the environment and some of the places where they're needing more workforce, and for groundwater inspection. The other area is to provide computer oversight of some of the water monitoring automation. This is not an area that's real familiar for me, but the idea of this need is overall to enhance the management, permitting, and oversight of water protection and how it's being impacted primarily presently by the coal bed natural gas industry. So if there are any questions, I would answer those.
Discussion on Section 37.
Call for the question, Madam Chairman.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 37 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Section 39, Wildlife Natural Resources Trust, and we'll have Representative Harshman present that budget when he gets up off his knees.
Representative Harshman.
Wildlife Natural Resources Trust, agency number 39. Two employees, and let me get my budget book out. And it's on, I was talking about that previous budget. I wasn't quite ready. I'm sorry, Madam Chair. Let me flip the page here. Got it right here. Madam Chair, the governor recommended $55.8 million. The JAC action reduced that by $15.5 million. And those reductions were, we cut projects back from $7 million to $5 million. And with that, there's already about $5.1 million in there from revenue sources from the trust already. So the total projects going into this biennium will be over $10 million that can be used for projects, which is a, you know, a significant amount. And the trust current balance is $57.25 million. We've added 29.5. The governor recommended 43. We reduced that by 13.5. So we've added $29.5 million, and once again a substantial amount, and grew the trust from $57.25 million to $86.75 million. And I have a one sheeter I'll distribute out to you as well. Other than that, I'd stand for any questions.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you. Not to belabor the point, but that looks like for two employees, one heck of a lot of money for administration. Now I understand that that's for travel and so forth, but that's a bunch of money coming out of that fund for that. So would you like to explain that kind of?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. And I can dig into the budget here a little bit, but salaries and benefits for those two employees, well, and that's for a two-year deal. So as you look at the 684 number, so if you took that as a if you cut that in half, it's 340. Two people, two salaries out of that, it's going to take probably half of that. And then there's some travel and administrative fees as well. So on meetings with the, you know, with the board and so on. So,
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a follow-up. Still, for two employees, that looks like quite a bit of money out of the fund.
Representative Childers, Chairman Childers.
Well, Madam Chair, if I'm not mistaken, I think that also covers, doesn't it cover the travel and expenses and board members? There's nine board members, and quite frankly, on large projects alone, there's 14 of them. Those are the large projects over $200,000. You'll be seeing a bill on that. And from what I understand, a good portion of the board members personally go and look at those projects, as well as the smaller projects and they cover them in great detail. I mean, they're doing what the law asks them to do, to make sure that these projects fit what the law says. Now, expensive on the administrative part of it, yeah, but I think they've turned down a lot of projects too that don't quite meet what the bill says. And I think considering the travel that they had and the projects they had, and you got to realize this is over 9 judicial districts that all these projects are spread about.
Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Just to further discuss this part of the budget, it is $684,492, and there's 3 components to this. The first component being salaries of the 2 individuals for a biennium, and that comes to a total of $403,000. We then go into the next part, which is the 200 series. That has to do with the equipment, the utilities, permits, travel out of state, office equipment, et cetera. And that comes to a total of, and also equipment rental for the projects. It's a total of $144,000 in supportive services. And then we go down to professional fees. That's at $120,000, giving us the total of $684,000 over a 2-year period.
Representative Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you, good representative from Bighorn. And I can certainly provide the good representative from Cheyenne a copy of this budget. It's on page 10 of their budget book.
Any other discussion on Section 39?
Call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 39 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Section 40, Game and Fish Commission, and we will have the good Representative Peterson.
Representative Peterson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to present this budget bill. It's the Game and Fish, Section 40. We're on page 23 of our budget bill. And if you look at this particular budget, it does not have anything to do with administration or ongoing programs of the department, but there are 4 crucial factors here to the state of Wyoming. One is the veterinary services program. That's brucellosis. If you recall, we lost our brucellosis-free status several years ago. It was devastating to the livestock industry. Of course, it's a directly correlation between the livestock industry and our wildlife that's there, and that's been some contentious issues. At the present time, we're in the status again of having brucellosis free, and that means you don't have as much expense or problems working with the livestock industry. $3 million plus is allocated here for a 2-year period of time to maintain that status. We have extensive testimony concerning the steps and measures that's being implemented to keep Wyoming in that status under that particular program. The second one is the sage-grouse planning and protection. There are numerous sage-grouse working groups in the state of Wyoming that's functioning. And what we're attempting to do there is keep this particular game bird off of the endangered species list in Wyoming, because it have a devastating impact upon numerous operations in the energy field as well as in our personal lifestyles. And you can see there we had 2.8 allocated for a 2-year period. The last one is the comprehensive wildlife conservation strategy. That took a little bit of discussion and implementation. And what it pointed out when we talked to the members, exactly what does this program entail? It's where there is insufficient data on many of our species. We have approximately 800-plus species in Wyoming that are not hunted nor fished. And the Game and Fish has to respond when there's a question raised, what is the life cycle, how many of this particular species are there, things that perhaps we don't readily think of. And so this will enable this particular part of the Game and Fish to collect data on species that hasn't been brought up yet that may be brought up into the endangered species arena. So it's a proactive approach to fight off possible problems there. Wolf management, contentious issue. I've stood on this floor now for almost 8 years, and I've heard that discussed many, many times. And needless to say, we've been in litigation over this thing. I think we're probably at resolution of this. There are some dates that are coming up that are crucial on termination of this federal program and implementation of the state game and fish of this. And you can see that there's 2.475 there. Now, the JAC, when we looked at this, we did 3 things. And if you notice under the JAC actions on the cheat sheet, and flip the page over, you'll see that we did three different actions in the game and fish. We added a footnote specifying $500,000general funds for demonstration projects is effective immediately. In other words, once we heard the testimony of the game and fish and various other things going forward, we said, no, let's move out on this. Let's not wait for the fiscal year appropriations. These are crucial elements for us to go forward. So that's where we pick up the $500,000 there. We added $609,000 for the governor's recommendation, agency's comprehensive wildlife conservation strategy efforts, which I just talked about. These are the species that are unknown, but we're doing study and field work on. Finally, and I thought most appropriate, we've added a footnote specifying all $2.4 million for wolf management is effective immediately, because once again, we don't know exactly the dates when this is all coming to pass, but it's rather imminent. We know that in the testimony that we heard there. So what the JAC did collectively to this program is they added the funds that you see under the JAC column to bring it up to the total figure that is for the game and fish. And I stand ready for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 40 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Section 41, Fire Prevention, and Representative Jones will discuss that budget.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. The Governor recommended an increase of $149,134 over the 07-08 budget for a total of $7.7 million, and the JAC made no changes to his recommendation. This increase includes amounts for motor vehicle rate increases, replacing vehicles, travel, some safety equipment for the firefighter training personnel. There was a denial by the governor and supported by the JAC of $361,000 for a variety of equipment for the various training sites around the state. These sites presently exist and are now providing training for the firefighters. This request was to provide grant money for those training facilities that are presently operated by local governments and fire districts to acquire additional equipment. This budget continues to provide substantial support in the amount of almost $635,000 to the State Fire Academy in Riverton. No new positions are authorized to the 36 that already exist in this agency. I'd stand for any questions.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 41 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move Section 42, the Geological Survey, and Chairman Philip will explain that budget.
Chairman Philp.
Okay. Madam Chairman, Geologic Survey Agency 42, and I've got to get it on the right. The only thing we did with this agency is we moved from the governor's rec was we moved $1.2 million and one AWAC position to Section 321, which deals with AML funding. And we will talk about those AML funding items when we get to the Section 900s. But in this agency, when they came in, we had a lot of discussion about clean coal and carbon markets and coal sequestration, carbon sequestration from natural gas. That was the bulk of our discussion when he came in.
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. For the one AWAC position and the $1.2 million for carbon sequestration, I was wondering how I could get that job.
Chairman Philp.
Talk to the governor.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 42 has passed Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I think we're nearing the end here for today, but I move Section 44, which is the Insurance Department. Our committee did not take any action on this budget. I would just highlight in this budget that there is now in the standard budget $6 million, which is from previous legislation, and that has to do with the high-risk insurance pool that we now have for individuals.
Any discussion on Section 44? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 44 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Representative Berger.
Yep. You ready?
No, I'll just make
it. Chairman Phil.
Just so everybody knows, we're going to go through Department of Health. We've got Department of Transportation and then Department of Health, and then we'll call it a day as far as the budget is concerned.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Madam Chairman, I thought we were going to leave the budget for first or health for in the morning, but here we go. Right now, Madam Chairman, I'd like
Madam Chairman. Whoa.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
We're on 48?
45.
No. 45. Okay, folks, we'll go through 47 here and stop before the Department of Health.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we have 45 and then 48. So we'll just go through 45.
We'll go through 45, excuse me. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Majority Floor Leader. Representative Berger.
Madam Chairman, as I was saying, we will move Section 45, the Department of Transportation, and Representative Warren will take care of that.
Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, I'm glad we're going to do the Department of Transportation. It's a very small little budget that we could all look at. Interestingly enough, this department is the largest state agencies of number of employees, has 2,000 employees, and covers 6,800 miles across our great state. That's why it's kind of expensive. And the department oversees construction, maintenance, law enforcement, all kinds of things to keep us out on the highways and keep us safe. There were several budget items that I would like to present to you. The largest one was the department had a request of $140 million increase for construction, and that was reduced, and JAC agreed with that, with the governor's suggestion, which was $25 million, so there's now $200 million for highway construction. Of that $200 million, JAC did make one change, and that's in the footnote you will see. They requested that of the $200 million, $3 million, be utilized for roto-milled materials for county and dust mitigation, and $7 million shall be deposited into the industrial road program account. Those are needs that are being addressed in the state. Another big area in this budget that was included is for the WildLink, both the state system and for local support. The total for that was $12 million to cover those costs. And the JAC, back to road management, JAC did add $50,000 for a study to look at high accident area roads or where there are high accidents of what could be done in those areas to enhance the safety. Looking at it instead of the whole system being renovated, maybe addressing those areas where they're the biggest risks and the largest number of accidents. The one other area that was included in this budget was a reduction in the aeronautics division by $3 million. The reason that that was made was there was an existing $12 million request, and there's $6 million in the budget, so the governor thought just adding $3 million would leave $9 million in the aeronautics division. Those are the primary changes. I would address any questions if there are any.
Question being called.
Madam Chairman.
Excuse me, Chairman McComey.
Madam Chairman, I can't find any reference to what the IS stand for on the explanation of where this money comes from under other funds.
Madam Chairman, that stands for Internal Services, and if they would look back on pages 2 and 3 you'll have your definitions of the House Bill 1, the big budget. Call for the question, Madam
Representative
Chairman.
Representative Wallace.
Oh, excuse me.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'd like to hear those great big numbers at the beginning of this discussion again. Something like 2,000 employees and a large amount of money that's not reflected on any of the sheets that I'm looking at.
Representative Wallace? Representative Warren.
Madam Chairman, first of all, when I referred to 2,000 employees being in the Department of Transportation and 6,800 miles, this is information that comes with the budget that we receive and we review with the department. And I present those numbers to you all just to give you a perspective of what we're dealing with, of how many people are employed. Those actual numbers are not in the budget. All you will see in the budget is what the exception requests were that were different from what the governor requested, and then you'll see the beginning request and the end outcome of what the total budget amount is. The breakdown of some of these expenditures we can share with you in more detail through the budget agency information and answer your questions.
Representative Wallace?
I may know the answer, but I'm kind of new at this. So how do you determine what is in this budget and what isn't? Like, if there's 2,000 employees, how do we wind up with a number of 562 on this budget? And where are the rest of them, and how are they paid for?
Chairman Philp?
Yeah.
Chairman Philp?
Madam Chairman, that is statutory, and the Highway Commission, that's in the Highway Commission budget, which they set that part of the budget. We do the other part, administration, Highway Patrol, that part of the budget is driver services. That part of the budget is part what we see. I'm just going on off the top of my head here, but most of those positions are in the operation and maintenance section, which we don't see the dollars for that part. We just see the positions as they roll up in the budget.
Representative Jones.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just going to maybe add a little bit. I don't think I even need to add to it. The Transportation Department actually has two budgets, one from the Highway Commission. That's who takes care of the highway construction, the highway maintenance. Their funds all come from funds that they generate, whether it's fuel taxes, road taxes. There are several avenues that send money into them. We don't see that budget at all. All we see is this law enforcement, administration, aeronautics, that are generally funded. Those others that are not funded through the general fund are in a separate budget that's handled by the Wyoming Highway Commission.
Representative Korberg.
Oh, thank you, Madam Chairman. But aren't we now starting to fund highways as a standard budget item by starting this $200 million a year? And I guess I'm just thinking that the more we start to fund agencies like the Highway Department and Game and Fish out of our general fund money, the more I'm convinced that perhaps it is time that all of those budgets come before this legislative body in total.
Chairman Phil?
Well, and that is a decision that can be made by this body. It would require a change in the statutes.
Any other discussion on Section 45? Representative Jorgensen.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me add a little bit more. Maybe it will clarify it. The funds that we supplement to YDOT for construction and maintenance are in addition to the funds that they get from the federal government through the national fuel taxes and use taxes. By comparison with another mountain state, and I won't tell you the name, they fund their highway program about 40% excuse me, 40% federal and 60% of the state. Ours is about the reverse. We're about 80% federal and 20% state. So we are very dependent, overly dependent on the federal percentage of the funds we spend. There are several reasons for that. One is we have a very rural population, so we have a lot of costs not represented by vehicles and vehicle miles and gas consumption on the state tax side. We have a low state tax. Those are among the factors that go into that difference. And I'd love to discuss with anyone the factors that go into it and exactly where we stand and what's ours and what's not ours and the reasons why we either look at or don't look at parts of the budget. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Any other discussion on Section 45? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Section 45 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report with respect to the action taken today in Committee of the Whole on the Budget Bill, House Bill 1.
You have heard the motion. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report with respect to House Bill 1 only.
Mr. Speaker, with respect to the budget bill, House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, the Committee of the Whole took action as follows. Section 1 adopted, Section 2 adopted, Section 001 adopted, Section 002 adopted, 003 adopted, 004 adopted, 005 adopted, 006 adopted, 007 adopted, 008 adopted, 010, 011, 014, 015, 020, 021, 023, 024, 025, 026, 027, 029, 037, 039, 040, 041, 042, 044, and 045, all adopted. Signed, Representative Shepperson, Chairman.
Representative Shepperson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of today's action taken on the budget bill.
You have heard the motion. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed signify by saying no. Thank you, Representative Shepperson. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. At the risk of incurring everyone's wrath, I move that the House resolve itself into Committee of the Whole. I just want to consider five bills to the bottom of the first page, House Bill 83. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The motion is to form into a Committee of the Whole for discussion of bills on general file. All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed to it signify by saying aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. Representative Shepperson.
Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is House Bill 17. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 17, introduced by the Education Committee, an act relating to community college commission duties. And this bill was referred to the Committee Number 4, Education, which returned it as a committee decision to pass amended. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White, signed representing McComey, Chairman. The bill was further referred to Committee Number 2, Appropriations, which returned with the committee recommendation that it do pass with as amended. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philip Warren, signed representative Philp, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 17 do pass. Madam Chairman, this bill has two standing committee amendments, which I will move standing committee amendment number 1 and explain it. And it has a standing committee amendment from the appropriations, which the appropriations chair will explain. Madam Chairman, the good lady from Sweetwater County is going to manage the bill on the floor, but I will explain the bill or the amendment, House amendment, and ask for your favorable consideration, the committee amendment. What we have, this deals with the audit part that we were dealing with in the commission duties, and there was some confusion among the different colleges that we were going to get into we were going to become involved in their audits, their regular audits that they have yearly. That was not the intent. The intent was to be involved in their audits to the extent that we'd be doing the FTEs. This also reduced the amount of the appropriation to $250,000 from $354,000. And if you notice on your workup in the back of the bill, it kept escalating. That reduced that substantially and will continue to be much smaller. So with that, I'd stand for questions.
Is there any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 17? You have heard the motion on the Standing Committee Amendment. Are you ready for the question? Yes. Question having been called, all those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 17 has been adopted. Chairman Philp.
Madam Chairman, I move Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 to House Bill 17. And all this does is make it one-time funding, and that remaining funds would not be included in the Commission's 2011-2012 standard biennial budget.
Any discussion on Standing Committee Amendment Number 2? Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The Standing Committee Amendment Number 2 has been adopted. We are back on the bill. Representative Kraft.
Thank you so much, Madam Chairperson. The explanation of House Bill 17 is going to be considerably shorter than it was going to be this morning. So let me just tell you that what this piece of legislation is it's a result of recommendations that were made by the Governor's Study Commission on Community Colleges that was created last year. This commission met diligently throughout the summer and came back with a number of recommendations, some of which are incorporated in House Bill 17. What this basically does are a number of different things. First is it requires each college foundation to annually report to the college commission their respective expenditures and their accomplishments under their endowment matching program. They already report to the state treasurer, so it would just add that they will now report to the commission as well. It also requires that the commission respond to a community that is outside of the community college service area. If a community that's outside the service area asks for a particular program, a requested program, and that particular college cannot provide that program, then the college will refer it to the college commission with the idea that then they will respond to whether or not such a program can be provided. It requires the college commission to develop a statewide biennial community college strategic plan for delivery of service, to review, modify, maintain any existing community college service areas. The requirement for that is that the service areas must be contiguous to the college that they would be serving. They can't be one end of the state to the next. It directs the commission to review and approve existing certificate and degree programs, to terminate any of those that might have consistently low enrollment. It directs and funds the commission to conduct enrollment audits. And the idea for this was to ensure uniform accounting of FTE students in reporting financial data. And then, of course, the appropriation to the College Commission for these expanded duties, which, as per Amendment 2, has been reduced. This is the substance of the bill. These are all recommendations from the Community College Commission. I would stand for any questions and would urge your support of House Bill 17.
Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 17 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 17 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Our next bill for our consideration is House Bill 25. The reading clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 25, School Building Plan Review Exception, an act relating to fire prevention and electrical safety, introduced by the School Facilities Education Committee. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which returned it with a committee decision to pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, that it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 25 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments.
Representative Teeters.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This is a very simple bill. It was at the response of the request of the Commission, the School Facilities Commission. Essentially, it allows required construction plans review of schools by the state fire marshal. Currently, that's being done by local groups, and the state fire marshal does not impose a fee for the review of state buildings. The intent of this legislation is to eliminate the costs associated with the plan review fees that are charged to the commission by local jurisdictions as it's done now. By changing the classification of school buildings to state buildings for the purpose of state fire marshal plan review, essentially it will save the state around $500,000 over the next biennium by utilizing a state agency that already does review. Thank you.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 25 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 25 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 33. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 33, Veterans Property Tax Exemption, an act relating to taxation and revenue, introduced by Representative Illaway. This bill was reviewed by Committee Number 3, Revenue, who respectfully, as a committee, returned it with a pass recommendation with amendments. Ayes, Anderson, Escobel, Kay, Gilmore, Lubnow, Madden, Miller, Semlek, Stubson, Zwanitzer, Dave. Signed, Representative Anderson, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman Illaway? Excuse me, Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with a recommendation that House Bill 33 do pass. And further, I move the adoption of the Standing Committee Amendment. We have Standing Committee Amendment number one, which you've been handed out, which extends the dates on those things. And since that time, I've come on to some more information that this possibly could entail up to a $48 million deficit in the property tax refunds. I think we're expanding it quite a bit, somewhat with the bill. A little bit, and I think we better wait a year before we do any of this. So my recommendation is a no vote on the Standing Committee Amendment.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The Standing Committee Amendment was a piece of legislation from down the hall that fits in with the Cold War. And the Cold War was between July 1953 and August 1961. Those particular veterans would be between 65 and 70 years old now. They would be on fixed incomes. But as I indicate, this came from a piece of legislation
that was down the hall, and all I can tell you is that those are veterans that were in that time frame, 53 to 61.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman, and it extends the time period there for 10 years. We don't know for sure how many veterans. It was a veterans commission that came to me and said, we'd rather you didn't put this, the commission itself, didn't say whether to put it on or not. They said, it looks like us, it could cost $45 million, and I think we need some more information before we do that. I think we'd wait at least a year to do that, so I'd urge a no vote on this.
Chairman Philp.
Well, Madam Chairman, I don't remember if it was $7 or $9 million in the state treasurer's budget that we had to appropriate effective immediately because they weren't able to cover these veterans tax exemptions. And I think we better think twice, and I agree with the previous chairman that from the southeast corner of the state that said not to pass this amendment, I think. And I'd have to say I agree with him until we find out some better information on what the fiscal impact of this would be.
Chairman Illaway?
I call for the question.
Question being called. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, say no.
No.
Standing Committee Amendment Number 1 to House Bill 33 has failed.
And Madam Chairman, I turn over the sponsor of the bill, the good representative from somewhere here in Cheyenne.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The first page 2, we talk about, you'll notice some dates have changed. These dates continually change. They are changed by the veterans, the Federal Veterans Administration, and the Pentagon. So we have tried since those folks go to the VA to get their benefits, we have tried to stay parallel with what the VA does. We've had some questions where somebody goes to get to the VA and gets their benefits over there because of these dates, and then come back and find out that they can't get those because they're not in parallel. So that's why we've changed some of those dates. The most important part of this bill, and when we put some more money into this program a year or so ago, and then veterans went down to claim their exemption, they found out that they could not claim their exemption because they had changed the way their property was titled. It can only be claimed by a veteran or the veteran's spouse. Some people now have taken their title and put their children onto it because that does avoid probate. And so we went to the county assessor and said, all right, here's the problem. We want the veterans and the veteran's spouse to get the exemption, but we don't want that exemption to go any further. But we also want to have it so that their title can be in their children's name or, however they wanted to title it. And that's what we've done that says that during the lifetime of the claimant or the claimant's spouse, the claimant or the claimant's spouse is listed as an owner of the property. And then you could have it in a trust. And then we go on and say, or the claimant or the claimant's spouse is listed as a purchaser on a contract for deed for real property, and the contract for deed has been recorded with the county clerk. We haven't done anything other than that, but this allows the veterans to go ahead, keep their children on their title, and claim that exemption.
There is a committee of the whole amendment number 1. Representative Stubson.
Madam Chairman, I would go ahead and withdraw committee of the whole amendment number 1.
Thank you, Representative Stubson. Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I've had some questions on this, and so I need them answered. I or
It would be helpful to talk to my constituents about it. Little B doesn't show on this on the exemptions, and that has to do with the $3,000 of assessed value. Does that mean that the veterans who apply under this, do they have an annual credit of $3,000? I know we funded this more last year, and I see that in the military budget that we just approved moments ago that we're adding even more money to it. And so that I was trying to get an idea of whether they can take $3,000 off of their tax bill. Is that what that means?
Chairman Illaway.
I'd like the good chairman of the Revenue Committee to answer that.
Chairman Anderson.
Madam Chairman, I'll have to take from last year's memory, but I think it's $3,000 in valuation, so it would be 9.5 times per year. But there is no lifetime limit. We took that away last year, too. But so that would be every year are alive.
Chairman Landon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The second thing I wondered along that line is, does this apply to an individual's primary residency, or is it all property that they might have?
Chairman Anderson.
It applies to the primary residence as well as their automobiles, the other personal property that's taxed as well.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Madam Chair. That is in existing statute. We have checked that one out.
Chairman Landon.
So it doesn't. If they had a business property, say that was a sole ownership in their name, it wouldn't apply to that, but it would apply to their home, and nor would it apply to a second home or something.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. That's right, as I remember it. I didn't look at the statutes again the last few days, but that has not changed from last year. The reason for the additional money is we're including a few more veterans there to get it up with the standards with the Veterans Administration.
Is there any more discussion on the bill? Question being called. All those in favor of Chairman Anderson's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that Bill number 33 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, nay. House Bill 33 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 81. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 81, introduced by the Education Committee. Community Colleges Capital Construction, an act relating to the community colleges. This bill was referred to Committee Number 4, Education, which returned it with a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Kraft, Davison, Dirks, Goggles, Yagi, McComey, Teeters, Wallace, White. Signed, Representative McComey, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure, Chairman McComey?
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Madam Chairman, I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill number 81 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments. And the good gentleman from Mill Creek, Wyoming, will explain the bill.
Representative Goggles.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House Bill 81, Community Colleges and Capital Construction, basically modifies limits of capital construction projects subject to legislative and commission approval as specified. The modifying limits are contained on page 1 and page 2. Those limits are on a per project cost requiring commission approval increased from $50,000 to $100,000 with an additional level of approval required by commission if costs of previously approved and uncompleted projects has increased by 10% or more. Modified limits imposed upon community college capital construction projects are subject to both Wyoming Community College Commission and legislative approval on page 3, no funds shall be used for the maintaining, operating, or equipping of any capital construction projects in excess of $1 million, which was not approved by the commission and authorized by the legislature. Ask for your approval on House Bill 81.
Is there any other discussion on the bill? Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman McComey's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report and do so with the recommendation that Bill number 81 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 81 has passed the Committee of the Whole. The next bill for our consideration is House Bill 83. The reading clerk will please read the bill.
House Bill 83, introduced by Representative Olson, an act relating to district courts regarding district court judge increase. This bill was referred to Committee number 2, Appropriations, which returned it with a committee recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Berger, Harshman, Jones, Jorgensen, Peterson, Philp, Warren. Signed, Representative Philp, Chairman.
You have heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that when the Committee of the Whole rises forward, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 83 do pass, and will defer to the good representative from House District 22 for an explanation.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I don't really need to say much. I think the gentleman in the black robe who was here a week ago kind of said it all. I'll just give you, it does authorize one new district judge plus three other employees. Those three other employees would be an administrative assistant, a court reporter, and a law clerk. Just one brief bit of information. In 2001, there were 34 members of the Sublette County Sheriff's Office. Today, there's 73, so that kind of tells you what's going on up there. I would stand for any questions, and I ask for a favorable vote.
Question being called, all those in favor of Chairman Buchanan's motion that when the Committee of the Whole rises to report, it do so with the recommendation that House Bill 83 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. House Bill 83 has passed the Committee of the Whole. Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report.
Yay! You have heard the motion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion carries.
The reading clerk will read the Committee of the Whole report.
Mr. Speaker, your Committee of the Whole, having had under consideration bills on general file, beg leave to report as follows. House Bill 17, amended, recommended, and further amended, recommended, do pass. House Bill 25, recommended, do pass. House Bill 33, recommended, do pass. House Bill 81, recommended, do pass. House Bill 83, recommended, do pass. Signed, Representative Shepperson, Chairman.
Representative Shepperson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the adoption of the Committee of the Whole report.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All of those opposed to it signify by saying no. Congratulations. Representative Millen.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like privilege of the floor, please.
Please proceed.
I just wanted to ask you guys to please thank this young man who's been helping as a page today. This handsome young boy is my son, Patrick, and he's worked very hard today, and I'd like you to please thank him.
Representative McComey.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Your committee, number 4, Education, will meet immediately upon adjournment in H-10 to take up House Joint Resolution 6, statewide satellite carriage of Wyoming PBS, House Bill 102, quality child care, House Bill 177, tuition dependents, and House Bill 117, developmental preschool funding.
Chairman Illaway.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, will meet tomorrow, Tuesday. Upon noon recess in House 18, we'll discuss House Bill 145, Professional Commercial Licenses, Lawful Residence, House Bill 125, Insurance, Use of Credit Information, and if introduced and referred, Senate File 4, Foreclosure Redemption Period, and Senate File 11, Engrossed Subdivisions.
Chairman Landon.
Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, will meet as soon as everybody can get there after adjournment to hear the following bills in this order, which is opposite from how they're listed. House Bill 82, Trauma Care Services, will be first. House Bill 155, Recruitment of Physicians and Dentists, next. And House Bill 118, Loss of Chance Doctrine, abrogated, last.
Chairman Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 3, Revenue, will meet Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock and H11 to consider two bills, House Bill 133, Taxation of Helium, and House Bill 41, Cigarette Wholesalers.
Vice Chairman Jones.
Your committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet on adjournment today in room 204 to consider House Bill 107, Property Tax Relief, House Joint Resolution 3, Residential Property Uniformity of Assessment, and House Bill 52, Developmental Programs Cost-Based Reimbursements.
Chairman Buchanan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 1, Judiciary, will meet upon adjournment today to consider the bills from this morning, and then the committee will meet tomorrow at 9 a.m. in H8 to consider House Bill 137, Castle Doctrine.
Chairman Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, will meet upon adjournment tomorrow to discuss the revised agenda due to computer error of the following bills: House Bill 135, Fuel Disclosure; House Bill 136, Dyed Fuel Enforcement; House Bill 51, Multiple Special Handicap Plates; House Bill 12, Veterans Mental Health Appropriations; and House Bill 108, Railroad Quiet Zones.
Chairman Samuelson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 5, Agricultural, State and Public Lands and Water Resources, will meet tomorrow morning in room H11 at 9 a.m. to consider the following bill: House Bill 88, Omnibus Water Bill Planning.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet Wednesday morning at 7 a.m. in H18. There has been some additions to the schedule. In addition to House Bill 98, House Bill 100, and House Bill 11, we will hear House Bill 153, House Bill 169, and House Joint Resolution 10.
Are there any bill re-referrals? Is there any more business to come before the House? Mr. Majority Whip, that clears the desk.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, you will find on your desks a list for general file for tomorrow, February 19th. I would also remind you, LSO has about 30 amendments drafted for people. They're not numbered yet, but for those who drafted those amendments, you're free to go now and give them the okay so we can start numbering the budget amendments. And then just to remind you, your deadline for presenting amendments to be drafted for a second reading on Wednesday will be 5 p.m. tomorrow night. You just need to have them submitted to LSO for preparation, not later than 5 p.m. pursuant to the rule. And with that, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker, I move that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow, February 19th.
You have heard the motion. All of those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye. All of those opposed signify by saying no. We are adjourned until 10 a.m. Tuesday, tomorrow.